Welcome to Widows Speak. My name is Simone Levy, and I am the founder and mentor of Widows Wish, an organization dedicated to supporting widows and their children on their journey to peace and contentment. The mission of Widows Wish is to provide a community where widows can explore their grief, challenges, triumphs, and joys with others. I look forward to welcoming you in this new safe place to offer you advice, support, and even a little humor as we traverse this new reality together. Today, I will be speaking about the challenges that face children who lose a parent very young. This subject is very close to my heart as it affects my four children, but especially my younger two, who were just 4 years old when their father died. Unfortunately, they didn't have much time with their dad, and as a result, they have few memories of him. So it all started that at first I was really excited I was going to have my twins come on the show to share their stories. But as the time drew closer, I started sensing resistance in them. It became clear to me that this wasn't something they felt ready and comfortable to do. And I have learned in this journey of grief that we can never take for granted where we think a person should be in the process. I assumed that because they were so young, they would not have been as emotionally touched by it. How wrong I was. I realized this week that we can't ever assume we understand someone else's grief journey. Even though they were just four, my twins have experienced quite a bit of grief as well. And truly, they have pushed their grieving really far down. Perhaps I didn't know as much about their own journeys because they haven't really spoken about it or shown much emotion, spoke with them, I understood their reaction was normal, and there was no way I was going to force them to talk about this live on my show. They both did, however, agree to sit down and let me interview them and share their answers with you. So I will be their voices today. Excuse me. Today's show is viewed through the eyes and hearts of two little girls. So here we go, let's dive in. John F. Kennedy Jr., Sean Lennon, Madonna, Barbara Streisand, Steve Jobs, Frances Bean Cobain, Matilda Ledger, and heck, even Harry Potter. What do all of these people have in common? Well, they all lost parents at young ages, to the point where they had very few memories of their parents when they were growing up. Unfortunately and sadly, I welcome my daughters, Ariella and Hannah, to that club. As you all know, their father, Mark, was diagnosed with leukemia when they were 3 in 2007 and died soon after they turned 4 in 2008. Of course, their dad is spoken about all the time in the house, and there really is never a day when some kind of reference is not made to him. We very much keep his spirit alive, and pictures are all around the house, and I made really sure that this was going to happen. Each child has a memory pillow they made soon after he died. And it's really cute because the memory pillows are filled with bits and pieces of his stuff, an old tie, a piece of shirt. And also, this gives them the opportunity to write or draw pictures of him to him when they want, and they place this inside the little pillow. And in the front of the pillow is a picture of them with their dad. And they've had these pillows for almost 10 years. And these pillows go everywhere with them. Of course, they are very faded and old, but they're still there. Beyond this, however, I wasn't sure how much they remembered of their wonderful father. So now, allow me to share with you the questions I asked of my girls and their answers. So my first question was posed to Hannah, and I asked her, do you have any memories of your dad being sick in New York? Hannah's reply, yes, I remember him being sick, and I remember once I coughed on him and I felt so bad because I felt that I had made him more ill. I remember I had to wear a mask around him so that he wouldn't pick up any germs. And one memory I have is that my dad was given a dancing flower by someone at his work, and he had it in the hospital next to his bed. This is one of those play flowers that they're like spongy, they're in a pot, and they dance when you wind them up and they move from side to side. So Ariella and I loved that flower so much that he gave it to us when he came home on one of the rare occasions. We used to play with it often, and then it got lost in one of our moves. I have a really vivid memory of that, says Hannah. I remember as well when he was sick in Baltimore and we weren't allowed to visit him. We could just call him on the phone. Then one day we were picked up by a friend of the family and driven back to New York to stay with them. I then asked the same question to Ariella. Now remember, they're twins, so this all happened to them at exactly the same time. Ariella's answer to being asked if she had any memories of her dad being sick in New York was, being in the hospital with him and being allowed to listen with a stethoscope to his heartbeat. And I may have to add here that since she was that young, Ariella has always wanted and hoped and dreamed of becoming a doctor. My next question to them, do you have any memories of your dad when he was healthy and living at home? Hannah's reply, no memories of my dad being healthy and living at home. The only memories I have are the pictures we have around the house. Ariella's response, no memories of him being at home and being well, other than in pictures of him being healthy. My next question to them, do you have memories of the funeral and Shiva? And for those of you who don't know, Shiva is a week-long memorial-like service that we have after someone has died in the Jewish faith. Hannah, I was not at my father's funeral. My mother felt at the time that my sister and I were too young to attend and that it would be too traumatic. I resent that to this day, as I feel like I have never had closure to my dad's death. Her memory of Shiva Week. I remember just a lot of people in the house all day, but I do remember being spoiled and taken to Starbucks by a good friend Miriam. She took us every day. Ariella's response to the same question. Yes, I do have memories. We got a duck and it grew in water. And one night I got scared and I had to sleep with my mom because I thought there was an owl outside. I also remember that men and women were separated. I was not invited to his funeral and it really makes me mad because it was my dad and I wasn't able to have any closure. This has been really hard for me because I really at the time felt that it really wasn't a good idea to have them at the funeral. They were only four. But I have learned as time goes on that it's okay. I didn't know anything different. So we all do our best. And my next question. Are any of your memories of your father vivid? Hannah's response. Some memories are vivid, but very few. Most have been created by other people and what I have to imagine on my own. I do, however, have memories of my dad in Israel when we took our last family trip together. I have always had such a longing to return to Israel, as that is where I feel the most connected to my dad. Most, though, are stories that people tell me, and again, pictures that are in albums. Ariella's response to the same question. I have none of my own memories. They are all created for me by other people. And again, what I see in pictures around the house. My next question to them was, how would you describe your dad? Hannah's response. In my mind, I do remember him as larger than life and very protective. He was very funny. And people tell me all the time that he always had the best jokes. I guess that's where I get my sense of humor. And boy, is she right. She's got a great sense of humor. Ariella's response. No idea. I never met him, and I don't remember him. If I had to describe him, it would be from pictures. And they were either of him large and hairy or skinny and bald from where he got sick and had chemo. Such a difference in the two girls' perspectives. The next question. How has not having a dad impacted your childhood? Hannah's response: I have always pretended to have a dad because I don't want people around me to feel uncomfortable. So I never say, oh, my dad died. I have missed out on things like father-daughter dances. I have missed my dad never being at my basketball games and being able to share all my accomplishments and my fears with him. I've missed being able to call someone dad. And I see how my friends' lives are so different because they have a dad. Ariella's response to the same question. It hasn't impacted me. I don't know anything different. Although I do know that I would have wanted him at my bat mitzvah, have him walk me down the aisle, take me to dances, etc. Next question I ask the girls. Do you think the loss of your dad has been easier for you than your older siblings, and why? Now, their older siblings, Bianca and Saul, were 12 and 9 at the time. So Hannah's response to that is, yes, I do think it's been easier for me and Ariella because Bianca and Saul had him in their lives for much longer. They had a relationship with him. We didn't have very long, and we never got the chance to form a really close bond with him. We only had him for a short time, so it didn't impact our lives as much. Ariella's response. No, I think it hasn't been fair for any of us. But Hannah and I never got to know him at all. Number 8, the next question I have for them. Do you think you have changed positively? Not having a dad, how has it shaped you as a person? Hannah's response. I don't think I changed because I had barely become my own person. I think it's shaped me into who I am today. I am much more empathetic to others. I've had to become more independent. I matured much earlier than my friends, and I've learned to appreciate life more and not take things for granted. Ariella, I don't feel that his death influenced me in who I have become. I don't know what I would have been like. I have nothing to compare it to. And the next question I asked them, and I got pretty much the same answer from both. What advice would you give to other kids who have lost a parent? And this is from both of them. Be positive. Don't let it define who you are. And don't let your friends' perfect lives affect how you think of yours. So to my listening audience, I must admit it was difficult interviewing both girls. Really tougher than I was expecting. And honestly, I found myself feeling really sad, even though it was quite interesting to hear their different perspectives and how they both feel. And it also made me realize again, even more, that everybody grieves in their own unique way and at their own pace. As I said before, I have forgiven myself for not having allowed them to come to the funeral. I couldn't have known that later they would miss having closure. There really is no written rule or playbook to grieving parents to follow, and it's nothing that we expect is going to happen to us when we get married, have children. We don't expect that we're going to be left with grieving children. So how would we know what's right and wrong? However, on a positive note, I look at the successful lives of the people whom I first mentioned at the beginning of this episode and the amazing things they have accomplished. While I don't expect Ariella and Hannah to invent the iPhone or slay Voldemort and rid the world of evil, I have no doubt that the two of them are capable of achieving great things in this life. And I am so thrilled and feel so blessed that I get front row seats to watch as the two of them continue to grow and flourish. I must tell all of you, however, my listeners out there, one of my greatest fears after losing Mark was how I was going to deal with my children's grief. I had my own way of dealing with mine, but how do you help your child cope? So I've tried to compile a list of tips to help all of you who are dealing with this issue yourselves. And these are just things that worked for me and that I've tried, that kind of tried and tested in my family. First one, really be honest and upfront. Tell your children everything that happened and be open about your own sadness. This may seem counterintuitive because for so long during his illness, I didn't talk to my kids about my fears for their father's long-term prognosis. I spent so much time covering up my own grief and sadness. But I realized early on that if I didn't show them my vulnerability, they would learn to bury their own grief. And for sure, I've seen it with adults, it would creep up on them at a later stage in their lives. And I knew I didn't want that to happen. Next point, don't be afraid to talk about their dad. My children, or mom, whoever it is, a mom or a dad that children have lost. My children were young, especially Ariella and Hannah. So I knew that memories of Mark would fade fast. I was told then that it would be up to me to create those memories for them. Talking about their dad has been so important, and even telling them something they are doing reminds you so much about him. Oh, that's exactly what Daddy would have done. Yes, Daddy would have said this. Help them make their own memories, especially if they are extremely young, because after a while, they may not have any of their own, as has been shared today through interviewing both my girls. Speak the name of your loved one often. This doesn't mean just within your home, but when you are around other people as well. My kids love hearing stories about their dad from people who knew him, and I've had to tell people it's okay to share those stories. Often people don't know how to react, and I'm sure you've all realized that and you've all experienced it, and they are not sure if they should speak about Mark at all. And, you know, they get uncomfortable. What should they say? Are they going to upset the kids? Are they going to upset me? And the answer is absolutely speak about your loved one all the time. And, of course, laughter is important. Well, in my house, I mean, laughter has kept us going. And don't let laughter run away from your family. Keep having fun. Keep doing the things from your children's day-to-day routines. Remember, their world is suddenly upside down, and they are going to need to remain in a routine. Laugh about things that always made you laugh. Say things they still remember about their last parent and funny things they used to say and do. Give lots and lots of hugs and love. Your kids need to have an anchor. And remember, you are their new normal. You are the only parent they have. Children will have fears about losing you. I remember that in the beginning, if I so much as got a cold, my children would worry that something was going to happen to me. Keep assuring them that you are strong and will always be their rock. Home really needs to be their safe haven and their security. And mix things up a bit. Start new rituals that haven't been done before. Start small, like a new routine at bedtime or a new restaurant that you all enjoy going to. New memories are fine to start making. Just don't get rid of the old. And your kids have their own stories. Allow your children to share their story about what happened to their parents. How they perceive it may be different from what actually happened, but that's okay. It's their story to tell. And telling it often allows them to process some of their grief. It's really important. And yep, weakness is actually a virtue. While there may be a temptation to tell your kids, oh, you're so strong and you're so brave and mommy's so proud of you when they are crying or acting out their emotions, it's really okay for them to feel weak and vulnerable. As soon as they hear those words, many of them will shut down their emotions because they feel they always have to be strong. And that goes for you as well. For me, it was in the beginning, I felt like I always had to be strong and I didn't show my emotion and I didn't cry in front of them. And I realized that that was not giving them the permission that they needed to show what they were feeling. So let them, let cry, be weak, it's fine. And finally, be present for your children when they are grieving. Acknowledge their grief and allow them to cry, scream, and whatever it takes. Let them deal with their grief, because as I've said before, it helps for later on in life. and definitely makes them into healthier adults. So I would love to hear from any parents who are dealing with this and what you have found to be particularly helpful. Please reach out to me and share your stories with me so I can share them with others in the Widows community. That's it for this week on Widows Speak. Don't forget to tune in next week. Our topic will be New Year, New You. And it should be a really interesting one. Just warning you. Because you already know I'm not a big fan of exercise, but I thought we could take a look at weight loss as a widow and how food becomes your partner. And for those of you approaching your first new year as a widow, take a look at my blog post from last week for tips on how to survive your first New Year's Eve and how to set goals for 2018 that you can actually keep. As always, please feel free to leave comments. I would love to welcome anyone to my show to share your story or to write a guest blog post. Also, I have been so touched by the people from around the world who are tuning in each week. Norway, Italy, Israel, Australia. Oh, it's so exciting. And I know many of my listeners are friends and family, but please, please help me reach my goal this year and spread news of my website to any widows you know. I would genuinely appreciate it. And so, with much love, until next time, have an amazing week and Happy New Year!